Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Skipping the holidays, it's kind of a tempting idea, don't you think? Disappearing, say, this coming Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, and then reappear once again on January the 2nd. We can avoid then all of that holiday hoopla in its entirety. No crowded malls, no out of control family members, no stale Christmas letter, no anxiety about finding the perfect gifts, no stretch to the limit our credit cards, and of course, best of all, no fruitcakes. By leaping over this stress-filled time of the year, we might actually then have a shot at experiencing peace on earth and goodwill to all, and maybe even be able to find a little silent night. But alas, there is no technology for this kind of seasonal time travel, at least none that currently exists. Now, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite seasonal movies, and one I think that's now becoming really a fast Christmas classic, is the 2004 film, Christmas with the Cranks, starring Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis and Dan Aykroyd. It's actually based upon a short novel by John Grisham called Skipping Christmas. And the story revolves around a man, Luther Crank, who is incensed that he and his family spent over $6,000 in that previous Christmas, and they had nothing to show for it. And so with his daughter now entering into the Peace Corps, he's convinced his wife this year to skip Christmas and to put their money instead into a Caribbean cruise. So together they decide to forego all of the parties, the purchase of a Christmas tree, lights, the annual Christmas Eve bash that they hold, and any participation in the neighborhood decorating contest, the one in which all of the neighbors put an identical Frosty the Snowman on top of their roofs. The plot line is about how their neighbors all react to this, and in particular, the neighborhood block captain, Vic Frothmeyer, a man who is the one who organizes the street's Christmas lights and who gets mad when he finds out what the Cranks are planning to do this year for Christmas. But is it ever really easy or even possible to skip Christmas? Well, the Cranks discover that their decision unleashes some enormous consequences for them. And one of the biggest involves the surprise arrival of their daughter and her new fiancé, who expect them to be celebrating the holiday as usual. So apparently Christmas is a lot like Mother's Day. You ignore it at your own personal risk. And so, are we at risk at missing what this up-and-coming holiday season is really all about? Well, this morning is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the church year, as I mentioned to you earlier. So next week, we begin now a new season of the church year, the season of Advent. And the designation of Christ the King Sunday was actually one that was first established by Pope Pius XI back in 1925. It was meant to be this feast day designated to affirm the Christian belief that the reign of Christ should be felt not only in our own private lives, but also in the public arena as well. Christ the King Sunday was originally celebrated on the last Sunday of October. The only problem, however, was that this feast day was only being celebrated at that time by Roman Catholics, because Lutherans or many other Protestant churches celebrated Reformation Sunday on that same Sunday. So when Pope John the 23rd convened Vatican II, the Roman Catholic Church decided to shift this feast day to the last Sunday in the liturgical calendar so that all Christians, whether they be Roman Catholic or Protestant, could celebrate it together. Now, in this morning's first reading that we have here from God's prophet Jeremiah, it's really a lament about the loss of good shepherds to watch over the people of Israel. God is especially disappointed in the present ruler, King Jehoiakim, a monarch who lived about 600 years before the time of Christ. And Jehoiakim abused his people through misrule and unrighteousness and injustice and economic oppression and even some creative accounting. For example, when the powerful Pharaoh of Egypt demanded that his nation pay to him 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold, Jehoiakim raised this money by levying then a tax upon the whole land. And worst of all, Jehoiakim kept some of that money for himself in order to upgrade his own personal penthouse. He was definitely a very bad shepherd. "It is you who have scattered my flock," charges the Lord, "and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings," says the Lord. God promises here to gather the remnant of his flock and to put the people under the care of a whole new generation of kings. Kings who will be good shepherds and who will watch over their people and protect them and keep them from getting lost. And better yet, God will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. This righteous branch, of course, is none other than Jesus, the one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus comes to reign with justice and with righteousness and to provide safety for all of God's people. And this is the name with which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Now that's a rather odd name when you stop to think about it. An unexpected name. The Lord is our righteousness. Certainly not as well known as some of the other names that we encounter during the seasons of Advent and Christmas, and it's not likely to appear on many of our Christmas cards or in our carols or holiday decorations. But if we skip too quickly past it, I think we might end up missing the true meaning of Christmas. So for starters, let's get something straight here about names. Jesus is not like Frosty the Snowman. Sure, we might argue that, like the fairy tale snowman, he surprises us by showing up one day. But he doesn't do this as a jolly, happy soul with a corncob pipe and a button nose and 2 eyes made out of coal. Jesus is not a person who runs and laughs and plays, but then melts away with the first blasts of heat or adversity. Jesus is steadfast, not temperature sensitive. He is with us even when things around us get really hot. And Jesus is not Santa Claus. He is not a ho-ho-hoing, gift-giving, jolly old elf. He does not come down our chimneys to shower us with expensive toys and treasures. Nor does he dole out good stuff to good people and lumps of coal to naughty people. If we believe that that pile of presents that we get are a sign of Christ's favor, then we have missed a key component here of the character of our King. Jeremiah wants us instead to understand that this righteous branch of Jesse, Jesus, is a shepherd, not a Santa Claus. He gives more attention to lost sheep than he does to lambs that are safely at home in the flock. His joy comes not from seeing 99 people exchanging gag gifts, but from watching one lonely, solitary sinner repent. Take away Frosty and Santa Claus, and you are left with the name that has been given to us here by Jeremiah today. The Lord is our righteousness. And there is nothing cute or cheerful about it. And it may not exactly fit into our fantasies about what goes into generating a holiday spirit. But if we ignore the role of righteousness in who Jesus was and is, then we run, I think, a huge risk of missing the true meaning of Advent and of Christmas. Jesus is all about righteousness. He came to earth to make a connection between people and God, and to help people to see that their righteousness comes from God. The Lord is our righteousness is the exact opposite, you see, of self-righteousness, which dominates, I think, much of our society today and is very different from the self-centered smugness that leads us to believe that we somehow deserve our good fortune, along with all of the piles of presents that we find underneath our Christmas trees. The problem, you see, with so many of us today is that we make the assumption that doing well is synonymous with doing good. We find ourselves born on third base, and then we go through the rest of our life believing that we hit a triple. And yet, in the face of this self-delusion, Jesus here reminds us that our righteousness comes from God alone. God's the one who makes us righteous, and this happens through Jesus. Being just and honorable and free from guilt is not a human achievement, but instead it comes to us through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. The Lord is our righteousness. It's not about our nationality. It's not about our political party. It is not about our social class or our race or our denomination or our alumni association. The coming of Jesus is not about religion. It's not about us finding God. It is all about relationship. God finding us. That's the message of the holiday season that we don't want to miss. The Lord is our righteousness. Nothing more, nothing less. It means living in harmony with the Lord as well as living in harmony with our neighbor. It means enjoying the world that God has created while taking care of its natural resources. It means finding ways to resolve conflict without rushing immediately into violence. It means caring for the poor and for the powerless and following the example of Jesus. It means obeying the commandments of God because, you see, they are the key to our own inner harmony. To experience the righteousness of Christ is to be drawn into a deeper and deeper relationship with God. It is to discover that social justice and inner peace are both parts of a godly way of life, one that is made visible to us in the life of Jesus. Now, Jeremiah knew that you couldn't be a good shepherd while at the same time abuse the sheep. He knew that you couldn't be a righteous ruler and misuse your power. Jesus felt the very same way, and that is why he both invites us into a right relationship with God, one that takes seriously the need to look beyond our own self-interests and to execute justice and righteousness in the land. So go ahead, put your Frosty on the roof, and clear a path for Santa Claus. But don't miss this opportunity to focus your attention on the coming of Christ the King, the one who shows us that the Lord is our righteousness. Amen.